Welcome to a deep dive into early 20th century skiing.
Oh, this is going to be fun.
You sent over some excerpts from a book called How to Ski and How Not to by Vivian Caulfield.
Yep, published back in 1914.
1914.
Gives us a glimpse into how they hit the slopes over 100 years ago.
100 years ago.
It's a real time capsule.
Crazy.
Yeah, and it just shows how much the sport has changed.
Right, but also something.
You want that feeling you get gliding down a mountain.
Stay the same.
Yeah, it's timeless.
Yeah, so we've got Caulfield's advice on everything from equipment to technique to even the mindset of those early skiers. What really jumped out at you?
Well,
as interesting or maybe even a little funny looking back.
One thing was how Caulfield contrasts two different approaches.
Okay.
The English way of skiing, which she describes as pretty cautious and stick dependent.
Okay.
And then what he calls the Norwegian method.
So two totally different styles back then.
Yeah, it was like a skiing rivalry almost. Yeah, Caulfield was a huge fan of the Norwegian style. He thought it was way more daring and graceful.
Interesting.
He really believed that mastering balance and technique rather than relying on those sticks was the key to truly experiencing the freedom of skiing.
So he was already pushing for this more athletic, free-flowing style of skiing way back then.
Absolutely.
That's fascinating.
And you see how that focus on technique has carried through to how we ski now.
Right.
But the equipment back then was totally different.
So Caulfield talks about skis made mainly of ash.
Yeah.
So were people just like chopping down trees and strapping boards to their feet?
I mean, not exactly. Caulfield was really specific about the type of ash they used.
Okay.
And even the direction of the wood grain.
Oh, wow.
He knew that these details affected how well the skis performed.
Makes sense.
And how long they would last.
So even back then, there was this understanding of how materials mattered.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Okay, so what about boots? Were they anything like what we wear today?
Oh, no, not even close.
Really?
Caulfield suggests wearing boots big enough for two pairs of socks.
Two pairs.
Yeah. Can you imagine trying to control skis in those things?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, that sounds more like getting ready to climb Mount Everest.
Right.
Than hit the slopes.
Totally. And then the bindings.
Oh, yeah.
He talks about something called the Heitfelt binding.
Okay.
Which sounds terrifyingly simple.
Oh.
Basically just a single heel strap for control.
A strap.
Yeah, one strap compared to today's bindings with all their high-tech features.
Yeah.
It's wild to think people skied with just that.
I know. It really makes you appreciate how far ski technology has come.
Oh, absolutely.
But I guess back then, that was cutting edge.
It was.
All right, so let's talk about the actual techniques Caulfield describes.
Okay.
He spends a lot of time on this thing called the kick turn.
Yeah, the kick turn was super important because skiers couldn't turn easily while moving.
So every time they wanted to change direction,
they had to stop completely.
Even on a slope.
Yeah.
Even on a steep slope. That sounds like a recipe for disaster.
It was pretty challenging, especially for beginners.
I bet.
Caulfield actually gives step-by-step instructions on how to do it.
Really?
Lifting the skis, swinging them around.
Wow.
It must have been quite a sight to see people doing these kick turns all over the slopes.
It's so different from how we ski today.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Really highlights how much they had to rely on precise movements and balance just to get down the mountain.
For sure.
So what other techniques did he describe?
Well, he talks about stemming and snow plowing.
Okay.
Which we still use today, but even those had some subtle differences back then.
Like what?
Well, Caulfield emphasizes lifting the outer edges of the skis.
Really?
Which sounds counterintuitive.
Yeah, why would you lift the edges?
It was all about preventing the skis from catching in the snow.
Okay.
Especially with the equipment and snow conditions back then.
Right.
Imagine trying to snowplow in deep powder with those long skis.
Yeah.
Must have been a serious workout. I can only imagine. So these small adjustments made a big difference.
They did.
Fascinating. Okay, so what about the telemark technique?
The telemark?
Was that around back in Caulfield's time?
It was, and even then it was known for its grace and how well it worked.
Okay.
Especially on steep or uneven terrain.
Uh-huh.
Caulfield describes it as almost floating down the slopes.
Oh.
Adapting to bumps and dips with ease.
That sounds beautiful.
It does.
It's amazing how some techniques have stood the test of time.
It really is.
Okay, and then there's the Christiania turn.
Ah, yes, the Christiania.
Which Caulfield presents as a more advanced move.
Right, involving the subtle swing and a shift of weight to start the turn.
Interesting.
He actually gets pretty technical in describing it.
Does he?
Yeah, he really understood the biomechanics of the movement.
So Caulfield wasn't just like, go out there and have fun.
No.
He wanted people to understand the why behind every move.
Exactly. He was passionate about the finer points of skiing.
That's cool. And I noticed he even spends a big chunk of the book on jumping.
Jumping.
Yeah, like launching yourself into the air on skis.
Oh, yeah, that was a big thing back then.
Really?
Caulfield goes deep into this move called the sats.
The sats.
Yeah, it's the precise way you move your body to launch off a jump.
Wow. And how do you even practice that?
Well, he actually describes two techniques you can do indoors.
Indoors?
Yeah, without skis.
Wait, was he suggesting people build jumps in their living rooms?
It does sound a bit funny now.
Yeah.
But it shows how dedicated he was to perfecting the technique.
I guess so. And it's interesting because he says that back then, the judges for these jumps cared more about style than how far you went.
That's right.
Unlike today, where it seems like bigger is always better.
So true.
So there was an art to jumping.
Absolutely. It wasn't just about brute force.
And how far could they jump back then?
Well, Caulfield records a jump of 47 meters.
47 meters?
Yeah, that's pretty impressive, even by today's standards.
That is really impressive. Okay, so we've covered equipment and technique and jumping.
Right.
But Caulfield doesn't stop there.
Nope.
He lays out this whole five-day training plan.
A five-day plan.
For skiers.
It's fascinating.
What did he consider the most important things for a good skier?
His plan is all about building a strong base.
Okay.
Starting with the basics and working your way up to the harder stuff.
Makes sense.
And one thing that really stands out is how much he stresses practicing turns on level ground.
Okay.
Before you even go near a slope.
So no rushing to the top of the mountain right away.
Not if you want to follow Caulfield's advice.
Okay.
He believed that mastering those movements on flat ground would make it much easier when you're actually on a slope.
Okay.
Dealing with gravity and speed and all that.
It's like taking the time to break it down.
Exactly.
Before adding all the extra challenges.
Yeah, like learning the moves before you add the music.
I like that analogy.
And he even suggests specific drills.
Does he?
Some of them are pretty funny, like practicing kick turns in your living room.
In your living room.
But the idea is solid, you know, building up that muscle memory and coordination before you even hit the snow.
So it's like a form of dry land training for skiing.
Exactly. Preparing your body for what's to come.
I like it.
Yeah.
But it's not just about the physical side, right?
Right.
Caulfield also talks a lot about the mental side of skiing.
Oh, yeah. He was big on that.
Mm, we touched on that earlier with all the planning and observation.
Uh-huh.
But how did he work that into his training plan?
Well, he encourages skiers to really study the terrain.
Yeah.
Even if it's just a small hill in their backyard.
Okay.
You know, thinking about how steep it is, any obstacles.
Right.
Even how the snow might be different in different spots.
So it's like becoming a student of the mountain.
Yeah.
Before you even put on your skis.
Exactly. And he even says to mentally rehearse your runs.
What do you mean?
Like visualizing each turn.
Okay.
And how you'll handle different situations.
So it's almost like mindfulness, but for skiing.
Yeah. Bringing that awareness to the whole experience.
I love that. And so it's not just about technique and planning.
Right.
Caulfield also talks about the mental challenges.
Yeah.
Like dealing with fear and staying focused.
Oh, for sure.
I bet those were even bigger factors back then.
Absolutely.
Without all the safety features and groomed slopes we have now.
He knew that skiing could be scary, especially when you're new to it.
Right.
But he wanted skiers to face those fears,
wow,
reminding them that the more you practice, the more confident you become.
That's a good message for any sport, really.
It is. You grow by pushing yourself.
That's right. And of course, Caulfield doesn't forget about safety.
Of course not.
He's always reminding skiers to pay attention to their surroundings, talk to each other, and bring the right gear.
Essential.
So back then, that probably meant a map and compass.
Definitely.
Maybe a walking stick.
Oh, yeah. A good sturdy one.
To help you out.
And he even talks about what to do if you get caught in a fog or whiteout, which could be really dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
It really shows how different skiing was in Caulfield's time.
Totally.
More of an adventure
where
you had to rely on yourself and be prepared for anything.
That's right.
But when you get down to it, it's still the same sport we love today.
It is.
That thrill of gliding down a mountain.
The challenge of learning new skills.
The connection with nature.
All timeless.
So after diving into Caulfield's world,
what's
one big takeaway you hope our listener will remember?
I think Caulfield reminds us that skiing is all about constantly learning and improving.
Okay.
It's not just about reaching the bottom of the hill.
Right.
It's about understanding the mountain, getting better at what you do, and approaching the whole thing with mindfulness and respect.
Beautifully said.
Thanks.
And whether you're a pro or just starting out,
there's always something new to discover about skiing.
I agree.
It's an amazing sport.
Well, Caulfield's passion for it really comes through in his writing.
It does.
And it's contagious.
Yeah, it makes you want to grab your skis and head for the mountains.
That's the best feeling.
It is.
So we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity.
And given you a new way of looking at skiing.
Well said. And until next time, happy skiing.
Happy skiing. You know, reading Caulfield's, like, every single move had a purpose back then.
Yeah.
He even gets into how to go uphill.
Okay.
And advises against too much sidestepping.
So efficiency was key even on the way up.
Oh, absolutely.
Makes sense.
Got to save your energy for the descent.
Right. What about falls?
Falls?
Did he have any tips that might seem a little funny to us now?
Well, I mean, they definitely didn't have helmets and all that padding back then.
Right.
But his advice is pretty practical.
Okay.
He says to take your time after you fall.
Okay.
Figure out where you are.
Uh-huh.
And then get back on your skis methodically.
So no, like, flailing around in the snow.
Not if you're following Caulfield's advice.
Got it.
He really stresses avoiding any sudden movements.
Focus on getting your skis free.
Uh-huh.
And in the right position before you even try to stand up.
So a clear head.
Yeah.
And a strategic approach.
Exactly.
Were just as important back then.
Seems like it.
All right, so you're back on your skis.
Okay.
What's next?
Well, Caulfield's a big believer in keeping those skis together whenever you can.
Together like a train on tracks.
Yeah, like, why was that so important?
Yeah.
He actually compares it to riding a bike.
Okay.
Talking about how stable and efficient that position is.
Interesting.
This is keeping your skis together reduces drag and improves your balance.
Okay.
Leading to a smoother ride down the mountain.
Right. I can see how that would be especially crucial with their equipment back then.
Oh, definitely.
But surely there were times you couldn't keep your skis glued together.
Oh, of course. On hard-packed snow or ice.
Uh-huh.
He says to spread your feet a little.
Okay.
Lower your center of gravity.
Uh-huh.
And use subtle shifts in your weight to stay balanced.
So even then, they had to adapt their technique.
Yeah.
Based on what the mountain threw at them.
Exactly. Caulfield knew there was no one-size-fits-all approach.
Right.
It's all about reading the terrain and adjusting what you're doing.
I like it. And speaking of terrain.
Yeah.
I bet going down a mountain was a lot bumpier back then.
Oh, yeah.
Without all the grooming we have today.
No fancy groomers back then.
So how do they deal with that?
Well, Caulfield talks about anticipating those changes in gradient.
Okay.
And adjusting your body accordingly.
Yeah.
He even describes this technique of almost lifting your skis.
Lifting.
Yeah, just a little to handle those dips and bumps in the snow.
So they were like dancing with the mountain.
In a way, they were.
That's awesome. And he's very clear about not leaning back when you hit those bumps.
Well, he actually compares it to riding a bike again.
Okay.
Saying that leaning away from an obstacle
actually
makes it harder to control your skis and avoid a crash.
That's interesting. It seems counterintuitive, but his explanation makes sense.
Right.
It's about staying upright.
Yeah.
And actively steering around those obstacles.
Yeah, exactly.
There's lots of core strength involved.
Oh, definitely, and finesse.
Okay, so let's talk turning techniques.
Okay.
Did Caulfield have like a cheat sheet based on snow conditions?
He did for deep blue snow.
Ah.
He recommends the Telemark swing.
Okay.
For hard packed snow.
Yeah.
Stemming turns for going downhill.
Oh, okay.
And Christiania swings for uphill turns.
What about breakable crust?
Oh, that dreaded breakable crust.
Yeah.
Even Caulfield seems stumped by that one.
Really?
He suggests either jumping over it.
Okay.
Or carefully stepping around it.
So sometimes even with all the best techniques in the world.
Yeah.
You just got to deal with what Mother Nature throws your way.
That's right. You can't control everything out there.
No, you can't. And that's why Caulfield keeps stressing planning and observation.
Absolutely.
So it wasn't just about being fearless and bombing down the mountain.
Nope. He wanted skiers to really study the terrain.
Okay.
Think about the snow conditions, even how the sun might be affecting the slopes.
Wow. That's a level of detail I never would have thought of.
And then there's navigating in fog or a whiteout.
Oh, yeah.
Which must have been a whole other challenge back then. Caulfield says a map and compass were essential.
Of course, because you couldn't rely on seeing anything.
Exactly.
It really puts things in perspective.
It does.
Skiing back then was so much about self-reliance and careful planning.
Definitely, he saw it as this pursuit that demanded preparation and a real awareness of your surroundings.
And he wasn't just teaching people to ski.
Right.
He was teaching them to be mountaineers.
That's a great way to put it.
And even his advice for planning a ski trip seems relevant today.
Like what?
Bringing extra clothes,
okay,
food, and any equipment you might need.
Always be prepared.
Right. And he talks about how important communication is within a group.
Especially when you're climbing a mountain together.
So teamwork and making sure everyone's on the same page.
Yeah, he encourages honest feedback, making sure everyone's comfortable with the pace and the route.
So safety and enjoyment go hand in hand.
Absolutely.
You know, it's amazing how much wisdom is packed into this book.
It is.
Even though it's over 100 years old.
Yeah. So much of it still applies to how we ski today.
It's true. Like his focus on skill and technique.
Uh-huh.
And approaching the sport with mindfulness.
Yeah, it really transcends time.
And what makes his book so compelling is that mix of passion and knowledge.
Yeah, it's like he captured the essence of skiing.
And we're getting to open it up all these years later.
What a great way to put it.
So as we continue this deep dive, let's keep that holistic view in mind.
That skiing is not just about conquering the mountain.
Right.
But understanding it.
Uh-huh.
Respecting it.
And moving with it.
Exactly.
Okay, so with that in mind.
Yeah.
Let's move on to Caulfield's 5-day training plan.
All right, let's see what he had in store for those early skiers.
Okay, let's break down this 5-day training plan. What did Caulfield see as the essential skills for a good skier?
Well, his plan is all about building a solid foundation.
Oh.
Starting with the basics and then gradually moving on to more difficult stuff.
Makes sense.
But one thing that really jumps out is how much he emphasizes practicing turns.
Okay.
On level ground.
On level ground.
Yeah, before you even hit a slope.
So no rushing to the top of the mountain?
Nope, not according to Caulfield.
Interesting.
He really thought that getting those fundamental movements down pat on flat ground would make it so much easier to do them on a slope.
Makes sense.
When you've got gravity and speed to deal with.
So it's like mastering the moves before you add the music.
Exactly.
I like that.
And he even has specific drills he recommends.
Really?
Yeah. Some of them seem a little funny now.
Okay.
Like practicing kick turns in your living room.
In your living room.
I know, but the idea makes sense.
Yeah.
You know, developing that muscle memory and coordination before you're even on snow.
So it's like dry land training, but for skiing.
Exactly, preparing your body for the real deal.
I like it.
Yeah.
But Caulfield doesn't stop at the physical stuff.
Right.
He's also big on the mental side of skiing.
Oh, absolutely.
We talked about that earlier with all the planning and observation.
Uh-huh.
But how does that fit into his training plan?
Well, he encourages skiers to really study the terrain.
Oh.
Even if it's just a little hill in their backyard.
Got it.
You know, thinking about changes in the slope, potential obstacles, even how the snow conditions might be different in different areas.
So it's like becoming a student of the mountain before you even put your skis on.
Exactly. And he even suggests mentally rehearsing your runs.
Mentally rehearsing.
Yeah, like visualizing each turn and how you would adapt to different situations.
So almost like a form of mindfulness.
Uh-huh.
But applied to skiing.
Exactly. Bringing that awareness to the whole experience.
I love that. And of course, it's not all about technique and planning.
Right.
Caulfield also acknowledges the mental challenges of skiing.
Like dealing with fear
and
staying focused.
I bet those were even bigger factors back then.
Oh, for sure.
Without all the safety gear and perfectly groomed slopes we have today.
He knew that skiing could be intimidating.
Yeah.
Especially for beginners.
Right.
But he wanted people to face those fears head on.
Okay.
Reminding them that confidence comes with practice and experience.
That's a good message for any sport, really.
It is. You grow by pushing your boundaries.
Absolutely. And of course, Caulfield doesn't forget about safety.
Never.
He's always reminding skiers to be aware of their surroundings.
Yeah.
Communicate clearly with their group.
Right. And always have the essential equipment.
Which back then probably meant a good map and compass.
Definitely.
Maybe a sturdy walking stick.
For sure.
He even talks about what to do if you get caught in fog or a whiteout.
Yeah, those situations could be really dangerous if you don't know what you're doing.
It really highlights how different skiing was in Caulfield's time.
Yeah.
More of an adventure. More emphasis on being self-reliant and prepared for anything.
Absolutely.
But at its core, it's still the same sport we know and love today.
It is.
That thrill of gliding down a mountain.
Yeah, connection with nature.
That challenge of mastering new skills.
All timeless.
So after this deep dive into Caulfield's world, what's one key takeaway you hope our listeners will walk away with?
You know, I think Caulfield reminds us that skiing is a journey.
Okay.
It's not just about reaching the bottom of the hill.
Right.
It's about understanding the mountain.
Oh.
Honing your skills and approaching the whole sport with mindfulness and respect.
Beautifully said.
Thanks.
So whether you're a seasoned pro or just starting out, there's always something new to learn and appreciate about skiing.
Absolutely.
Caulfield's passion for it is contagious.
It really is.
It makes you want to grab your skis and head for the mountains.
It does.
Well, we hope this deep dive has sparked your curiosity.
And given you a new perspective on the art of skiing.
Well said. Until next time, happy skiing.
Happy skiing.